We was in the barn this week praying. I believe it was Tuesday. I can't remember now. I think it was Tuesday night. Maybe it was, or I'm sorry, it was Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. Praying to the Lord, thanking Him for answering prayer. Sometimes we are bewildered, not that we don't pray a prayer of faith, but sometimes we are just bewildered at how the Lord works and how He chooses to answer prayer at times. And we was praying, and what we meant to say was, Lord, I'm so thankful that you saved my soul. But what we said was, is, Lord, I'm so grateful. And as I said that, it's a word that it's a word that's in our vocabulary. But I typically, when I communicate to the Lord my appreciation of what He's done for me, I say thankful. And when I said grateful, I corrected myself. And then I thought, Daryl, are you grateful? And can you be thankful without being grateful? We live in a culture today that is constantly trying to redefine words. We know that there is a movement here in the United States that wants to redefine marriage. We know that there's been an attack on God's holy word, and that there is words in the Bible that people have themselves tried to redefine to maybe help the people that are within the church walls to help them to feel a little bit more better of themselves and a little bit more accepted by the church community, that they have chosen to redefine a particular sins. And I was saying to myself as we was there, can you be grateful or can you be thankful and not be grateful? We know that the definition of thankful starts out with grateful. So one would have to say, no, Daryl, you couldn't be thankful without being grateful. But you know, I think that in years past, thankfulness was the outward expression of being grateful. But the definition of thankful continues on to say, impressed with a sense of kindness received and ready to acknowledge it. And then thankfulness is expression of gratitude, acknowledgement of a favor. And you know, as we once said again, that there's a lot of people trying to redefine words or trying to emphasize maybe. We hear people speak, and you know, a lot of times you look up a definition and you have two or three, and you can emphasize maybe the last portion of a definition. And if people don't continually look that up, if people don't express the full meaning of a word, before very long, people might have a misunderstanding of what it is. We said already that could you be grateful, or could you be thankful without being grateful? You know, I think there's a lot of people today that would communicate or truly be impressed with a sense of kindness received and ready to acknowledge it, but yet not be grateful for the deed that is done. Because we can say thank you, and meaning thank you for what you have given me, thank you for being nice to me, thank you for giving me some kind of kindness that I've received, and acknowledging it not only to that person, but maybe even to stand up and say, I'm thankful that I have a brother, I have a sister that's so-and-so. And that one would say, well, he's truly thankful. But he's not yet truly thankful unless he is grateful. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to read the definition. Sometimes, you know, these things come to our mind, and we just meditate upon them. And do you realize that grateful's not a word that is used in the Bible? But yet we know it is a principle that is well taught. You know that the root word of being grateful is gratitude. Grateful is having a due sense of benefits, kindly disposed toward one from whom a favor has been received, a willing to acknowledge and repay benefits as a grateful heart. So grateful, as we read with Thanksgiving, with that, when you separate from thankful, the word grateful, one could say you are impressed with a sense of kindness received or ready to acknowledge it without addressing the thing that you you are willing to not only acknowledge, but to repay benefits as a grateful heart. So then I thought, well, maybe this is interesting here, because it seems like today we, as a culture, have separated, as it were, the word grateful from thankfulness. That there's a lot of people that would acknowledge some kindness that they would receive without having any intention whatsoever of repaying that kindness to the one that gave it to them or to another. The definition of gratitude is an emotion of the heart excited by a favor or benefit received, a sentiment of kindness or goodwill towards a benefactor. Thankfulness. Gratitude is an agreeable motion consisting and or accompanied with a goodwill to a benefactor and a disposition to make a suitable return of benefits or services. Or when no return can be made, with a desire to see the benefactor prosperous and happy. Gratitude is a virtue of the highest excellence, as it implies a feeling and generous heart and a proper sense of duty. So then as I read this, I begin to say to myself, as the world would define thankfulness today, we could say that there are some that are thankful but yet not grateful for what someone has done to them. We could go on to and read the Holy Scripture about what ingratitude can cause us. But I was thinking, where in the Bible could we find a perfect example of somebody that truly was grateful for something that someone else had done? Because I'm afraid today that because we have heard it in our culture within church circles so many times that we have it there, we could not pay. And this should move us, as it were, to emotion. That our gratitude should be an emotion of the heart and excited by a favor or a benefit that was given to us that we did not deserve. But now listen, there are some that have come to the conclusion that we had a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus paid it for us. So therefore we owe Him nothing. But I am here to declare to you today, because it was a debt that Daryl Hensley could not pay, and that because Jesus Christ spoke up on my account and said, Heavenly Father, I'll go and I'll pay that debt, does not relieve Daryl of any sense or emotion of gratitude. Now listen to me. I've got a debt now that has been paid for to God. And that's why Daryl should not only be thankful, as it were, appreciative of what was done, but that Daryl should be grateful. Now listen to me. There are those that would have a false sense of gratitude that we're going to read. Of those that would want to portray to you that they are grateful,
bless you, God,
for something that you have done for them. But true gratefulness is something that is displayed by our conduct. I'm not telling you that you should be grateful, because if you're grateful or if you conduct yourself in a certain way, because I said you ought to be, that's not true gratefulness. But gratefulness is seeing what we deserve, seeing what someone had done for us, and especially when we understand what Paul said when he said he first loved us when we were yet in our sins. Christ died for us when I was wallowing in the mire of the world's filth. Jesus said way back yonder there at Calvary,
and I'll pay his debt. And because of that, I want to repay him. No, because of it, I can't repay him. But I owe him my loyalty. I owe him my faithfulness. I owe him my hands, my feet, my family. All that I possess is his. Why? Because I'm grateful. Because of what he's done for me. I'm not just thankful, but I want you to understand when we get up in the morning, we ought to say, thank you, Lord. God, make my life exude my gratitude to the Most High King, the one that has died for me and you. And if we would have such an attitude, there will be no, listen to me, there'll be no quest. There'll be no commandment that God would ask us that would go beyond what we would want to do. Because we have a debt, or we had a debt rather, we could not pay, and he paid it. Where is the loyalty in the church today? What is loyalty? If you look it up, it says faithfulness to the King. Glory to God, we serve a King, a righteous King, a one that has conquered all. And I can rejoice today in knowing that my loyalty is to one that will never betray his children. I am grateful. I serve a God that loved me so much that he walked this world, the roads in life, and suffered affliction so that I might have a means in which to have a reason, as it were, to live. Then who is there that would show, as it were, a wonderful example of gratitude, a word, as we've already said, that you'll not find in the Bible. And we can turn, if you want to turn there, you can turn into 2 Samuel in the 9th chapter, and we see a beautiful picture here of a relationship of gratitude. It says here in 2 Samuel in the 9th chapter, the first verse, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show him a kindness for Jonathan's sake? Well, he said this to his servants. Oh, why? Because he was grateful. He was grateful for what Jonathan had done to him. He was sorrowful when he got the news that Jonathan died beside his father. Oh, David shed tears. Oh, why? Because David loved Jonathan. And as the kingdom was established, we know that Saul and his sons was destroyed. But in the tumult of it all, there was a servant, as the runners would run to bear the news, would come and say, Saul, Jonathan has failed in the hands of the Philistines. And there was a servant girl, and she picked up Mephibosheth, and she grabbed him up to flee with him when he was 5 years old, and he fell, and he was lame, and there was a son that would have inherited a kingdom, fled from the city, and fled as a lame child, and lost all that his father's had, and as it were. And David said, is there anyone in the family of Saul that I might, as it were, show my gratitude to Jonathan? And they said, well, you need to talk, as it were, to Ziba, the one that was over Saul's, all of his family, or the house of Saul and his servants. So they begin to talk. Ziba said, yes, and there is Mephibosheth, and he is lame. David come unto him, and he gave in return all that was Saul's unto Mephibosheth. You could tell that he was humble. We know here in God's word, no doubt he wondered. The man that searched out, the man that fled from my father, the man that hid in the caves because my father wanted to kill him. Why this kindness to me, a cripple? Why this kindness? I'm not good to anybody. I can't go to war. I can't lead his people. As it were, he couldn't make me a general, for I am lame and cannot walk. Why this kindness to me? Have you ever, church, asked the same question? Listen to me now. If you've ever asked that question, I believe you have a spirit of gratitude to understand it weren't nothing we done. We as a cripple, we couldn't go nowhere from here to there unless someone would carry us. You say, no, I'm a strong man. I want to tell you, whether you're born again or not, we have a Heavenly Father that carries us, that placed us right where we're at, and supplies our needs. Whether we have a thankful and a heart full of gratitude, or whether we be so proud as to say, by my own hand, I've got all that I've had. I want to tell you, you're in the same position as Mephibosheth was, and you have one that will give you the kingdom. We know, we later on pick up right where Mephibosheth, the story leaves off, and we know that David is fleeing from his enemies. He's fleeing from his son. And we see here, if you'd want to turn there, you can turn there to the 16th chapter and the first verse, and it says, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. Listen, I want to ask this question to you, and you're not going to know the answer if you know the story. But did Mephibosheth return the gratitude that was shown to him? Well, we find here that when David was a little past the top of the hill, as he was fleeing from his son, we know here it says, behold Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him, and with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. The king said, see, if you stop right there, sounds like that old Mephibosheth was thankful that he was going to return this kindness, that he was going to show the king that he was grateful for all that he'd done. And the king said unto Ziba, oh, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, oh, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be fain in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, listen to me, when we reach out and we're grateful, when we reach out and we're thankful to those, when troubles come, we long, do we not, to hear a kind word, a word of assurance from those that we have shown God's gratitude to. And David weren't no different. David said, and the king said, and where is thy master's son? Speaking about Mephibosheth, and Ziba said, Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. And then said the king to Ziba, and I imagine old David was heard. He said, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, of my Lord, O King. So we have here that King David said he believed what Ziba said. After all, Ziba was the head of all King Saul's servants, a man that was in a position to be trusted. So when David heard that, I'm sure it cut him like a knife. That when David needed a friend, he longed for the encouragement even of a cripple. And he'd have come riding on the ass and said, "Oh, King, long live King David, the King of God's holy children." But yet we find him here answering, and the servant, as it were, the servant of Mephibosheth come and said, "I bring all this on my own accord. That this one that you show gratitude to, this one that you awarded all, that you returned unto him, seeks the kingdom in Jerusalem." Don't you imagine that broke David's heart? And he thanked, and maybe angered him a little bit, for he gave all that was Mephibosheth's unto Ziba. But we find out, it would sound like if this story ended right here, that Mephibosheth did not return the gratitude and the kindness and the thankfulness that was showed unto him. But then, and we find out who was grateful. Sounds like Ziba was. Sounds like this was something that he'd done on his own, that he stepped out, that he put himself in jeopardy, as it were, to bring these asses and this abundance, when it was the intentions of his master to be a king. But if you just read on a little further, and we can turn over there, if you will, 2 Samuel, the 19th chapter and the 24th verse. And this is when David is returning to Jerusalem after he defeated his son in battle. And he experienced the heartache of his son perishing. He's coming back to Jerusalem, and it says here, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day that the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wouldest thou not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My Lord, O King, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he had slandered thy servant unto my Lord the King. But my Lord the King is as an angel of God to therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men. Listen, these are words of gratitude. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the King, yet didst thou set thy servant among them. That were thy servant, set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. Oh, what right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said to him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. So here, the king had already took once again all that that Mephibosheth had, and he'd give it unto his servant. So that when he seen the generosity and the sincerity This was not something that when the sheriff stood in the city with a clean jar, as it were, a clean, trimmed beard, washed on the way to be, as it were, the king of it. This was a man that come unto him, and David could see that he had not dressed it. This was a man that was mourning. This was a man that was brokenhearted because of what had transpired. A man that shed tears at the news that David's son had died in battle. A man that come unto him that was truly concerned with his welfare. And the king said unto him, "All right, I've already given all that was yours unto Ziba. You can have half of it back." And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house." This was a man that had a genuine gratitude. This is a man by his comments. We've seen that Ziba was one that come with false gratitude. He come in order that he might take which was his master's. But when it was all said and done, Mephibosheth was comforted in that the king returned. Was comforted that the one that was the ruler of the kingdom has come, and that all that is mine, that was mine, is not important anymore, for the king has returned. Listen, church, we need to have the spirit of Mephibosheth. Bless your heart. We need to go where the Lord says. We need to mourn for the sin-sick church. We need to cry out for the Lord, and in his coming we can rejoice and know that all these possessions, as it were, does not matter to us, for we must be carried by the Lord. What good would it be for me to have vineyards and fields of great possessions and not have someone to carry me there? The Lord has provided for us. He has told us, and the Bible, it teaches us, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Some he is blessed with possessions, and others he has not. But we have a king. We have one that has given us all. That we were as Mephibosheth dead man. That our family had nothing, had no claim to any land, as they were in glory. And along came the king, and he gave us all that we have today. Are you grateful? Have you contemplated these thoughts? Have you thought of the Lord? I owed a debt I could not pay, and the Lord come and he paid it, so therefore I no longer owe it. I think some have felt the wonderful freedom of what it feels like to be a condemned man, to be a man that has a debt, or that it is impossible for him to pay. We have all felt the sweet relief of being free from that debt. But let us not forget who is that one that paid it. Because so many people are so afraid of being accused of trying to work their way to heaven, nobody therefore anymore obeys the word of the Lord. Nobody anymore is grateful. We have successfully as a culture separated gratefulness from thankfulness. And that we say thankfulness is the mere acknowledgement of what someone has done for us. Listen to me. What should motivate us is the love that God has bestowed upon in our hearts. And that if we are grateful in the marrow of our bone, our actions will reflect it. And this is where the joy comes in serving the Lord. We are indebted to the Lord. There's a lot of people that don't want to think on these things. Indebtedness speaks of a, as it were, a burden. You know, there are people today that cannot comprehend why someone would defend their country. But there has been so many that have come to defend their country because they are grateful. Because they are thankful to the point that they realize and that they have a disposition to make a suitable return of benefits or services, or when no return can be made, that we have a desire to see the benefactor prosper and be happy. The Bible says in the 23rd Proverb, the 24th chapter, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And then if you turn to the 5th chapter of Proverbs, it says, a wise son maketh a glad father. Well, what do you get someone that has everything? You know, more and more today that is becoming a perplexed problem, isn't it, in our culture? What do you buy someone that has everything? Well, listen, we serve an almighty God. Our Heavenly Father is creator of all. He's self-existent. He doesn't need my favor, make Him feel better of Himself. He is holy, He is righteous, and He is perfect. But the Bible declares unto me that a wise son maketh a glad father. This is something that Beryl can do. This is something that you can do to a Heavenly Father that has done so much for us that we might never repay Him. We could never begin to repay the Lord, but that should not relieve us of an understanding that we are indebted to Him, that He rightly deserves our loyalty, our faithfulness, our obedience, our servitude from everlasting to everlasting. And if the Bible says that a father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, if Beryl can put a smile on the Lord's face, that's what Beryl wants to do. I'm not telling you you ought to be grateful. I'm telling you if you ain't, that you need to find a place to pray. Because God's children are those that are grateful. I'm afraid today so many people wring their hands and say, why me? Why do I got to do this? And why do I got to do that? That's not the words coming from a grateful heart. That's not the words of a grateful child of God. When we say that's asking too much, that's beyond what I can do, that requires too much of me, because that sounds more like the words that Ziba might say. Do you think that would have been Ziba's response when David had taken from Mephibosheth all that he had and give to Ziba? Wonder what response he would have had when David said, well, Mephibosheth, half of it's still yours. See, because we see the motives behind Ziba's actions, don't we? He come out there to gain something for himself. That day when the king fled the city, he was not so much concerned about the welfare of the king, but he looked in the time of turmoil. This was where he could capitalize on the situation and gain that which was his master's. And if David died in battle, did not matter. Or if he returned victorious, it would not matter. Because he was motivated and not at the welfare of the king, but in his own. I'm afraid today that there's a lot of church members that their actions reflect the actions of Ziba and not Mephibosheth. Well, Beryl, okay, There's not a one of us that couldn't be more grateful. And I'd have to say amen. But just because I'm not that grateful, what can come of that really? So what, that I'm thankful of what the Lord has done, but just because I don't have an overwhelming sense of indebtedness to the Lord, I rejoice in what He's done for me. I don't want to be burdened or in bondage to indebtedness. I was indebted to Satan, and the Lord set me free of that. I don't want to pick that up again. I'm going to tell you right here. The Bible gives us three examples of what ingratitude will cost you. We see it with the man that says in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, the 15th verse, "Now there was found and a poor wise man, and there was found in it a poor wise man, and by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered of that same poor man." Now see, that's just the way men are. Men are ungrateful. They exhibit ingratitude to mankind. We see it with man, and you can turn, if you would, to Romans, the 1st chapter, the 21st verse. Doesn't stop there. But mankind shows ingratitude to God. And it says in Romans, the 1st chapter, the 21st verse, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." A heart of ingratitude will lead to a heart of darkness. If we are ungrateful to those in our relationships, our personal relationships here in life, if it's left unchecked, we'll be ungrateful to God. One could argue and say, no, we are ungrateful to man because we are first ungrateful to God. But you know, there are those that are, as it were, in their mind, grateful to God, but ungrateful to this one that has done them no good. But we need to see, and we need to be as David was and said, "Who might I show gratitude to because of what Jonathan had done?" We should ask the same question. Who could we show the gratitude or the thankfulness for what our Savior has done? How can we exhibit that to our fellow man? And then we see the last step, as it were, in a three-step process of what ingratitude will cost us. Because ultimately, ingratitude will lead to us calling evil good and good evil. It says in John, the 10th chapter, the 32nd verse, "Jesus answered them, 'Many good works have I shewed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?'" See, we're ultimately in gratitude. These were men that should have been grateful for what Jesus done. But their gratitude was so deep and so severe that they looked at the Savior of the world and said, "He is evil. Let us kill Him." So here, though we might not find the word gratitude in the Bible, it is full of examples. Now when it says thankfulness, a lot of times this is what it is talking about. Even though we have somehow in our culture today, I think, separated a gratitude from thankfulness and thanksgiving. I'm going to read four more verses and then close. It says in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 10th verse, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee." Then it says in Psalms, the 100th Psalm, the 4th chapter, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." And the 107th Psalm, the 22nd verse says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Have you made sacrifices unto the Lord? If you don't come to Him with thanksgiving or with a grateful heart, these things are merely actions that we do on the outside to prove to others that we are a good person. But yet, God knows. And that's why He tells us, come to Him with sacrifices of thanksgiving. Those are the most enjoyable. You know, there's been times I've gave to the Lord because I knew I should. Because out of obligation. But if you have a grateful heart, you'll be a cheerful giver. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 18th verse, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, Darrell, what's that got to do with gratitude? It is only a grateful heart that can give thanks in everything. We've mentioned this so many times. When someone asks us, how you doing? I'll say, oh, better than I deserve. So that comes, or should come, from a heart that is grateful. Grateful for all the kindness that the Lord has done, knowing that we do not deserve one blessing. And I always enjoy the response that I get, whether it's from lost people or Christians, because there are so many that have heard over and over. They sit in the pew. They've heard over and over that Jesus loves us and He died for us. And somehow that has elevated their self-esteem in the fact that Jesus, that Christ would die for me. I must be pretty special. Had a woman say that, worked out behind the counter. She says, well, I don't feel that way. I'm a Christian. Since Jesus died for me. What? I said, and I too am a Christian, and that's why I said it. She says, well, I guess I see what you mean now. See, and the only thing, I didn't ask her to elaborate, but that was such to me, such an unusual response, that she would disagree with that comment. That I was getting better than I did because Jesus Christ had died for her. And the only logical conclusion I could come from that is that she must think of herself to be pretty special that the Son of God would come down here and die for her. But listen, He didn't do it because we were special. He did it because we were vile and wretched and we needed a Savior. He did it because without Him doing it, we would have been damned. Let's get some song to sing. If you're lacking joy in your Christian life, if you're lacking the unction and the drive to get up and do what's right, let us meditate on all the Lord has done. And if there be any spark of life in you, it'll cause your heart to swell with gratitude. It will cause you to get off the bench of do nothing. It will cause you to get out from under the cloud of self-pity. And give you a reason to rejoice. See, years ago, thankfulness was an outward expression or an outward means in which you showed your gratitude. But as we see in the culture that we live in, I think that I'm not being presumptuous to say that by observing the actions of people that they have been successful at separating thankfulness. Not true genuine thankfulness, but a thankfulness that is accepted by this world. They have been successfully able to separate that from gratitude and gratefulness. It was some years ago, we were watching, I believe it was the Today Show. It was a morning newscast on Thanksgiving. And I don't know whose idea it was there for them to go around their table
and to voice who they were thankful to, since it was Thanksgiving. And you know, obviously not a one of them said they were thankful to God. But it was really quite entertaining to watch them. Because one woman in particular, she was so uncomfortable with saying that she was thankful to this one and that one. Thankful for her job. You could just see the awkwardness of it all. And I thought, you know, that's really sad. Because when we say thank you, if we fully understand what we're doing, we are acknowledging our need, aren't we? We are acknowledging that someone else other than ourselves provided us with a benefit or a need that we did not have. And a lot of people don't want to go down that road because it leads them to ask other questions. Questions with eternal consequences that they just do not have the answers for. And that was some years ago. I think today that we live in a culture that has successfully, in a lot of people's mind, has separated gratitude from thankfulness, and thankfulness is nothing more than a superficial, a word of a word one uses to portray themselves as being nice. That it's polite to say thank you. My mama taught me that. Say thank you. You know, as a kid, you ask, well, why? Because it's polite. So we learn a lot of times to say thank you because it's a polite thing to do. If you say, and if you show yourself to be a polite person, that you'll receive benefits. See, it's self-serving, isn't it? But we say thank you because the Lord wants us to have a thankful heart. There's a difference. Is there any word on anyone's heart before we close? You know, I prayed. We stayed up till after midnight last night reading our Bible. We haven't done that in some time. Reading our Bible, just searching it, where would be the most perfect example of true gratitude. And, you know, it wasn't till just a few minutes before we come up here that we read that one verse of what David said. Is there anyone in Saul's house? And though we might have failed today to portray just what it is to be grateful, just blessed our hearts so. And then I just pictured myself laying on a bed with my legs all shriveled up. I don't know how hard Methuselah's life was until that day. But to receive news that the king wanted you to sit at his table. One that could not even carry himself to that place. I'm so thankful that the Lord sought me out on my bed of affliction, as it were, as a crippled, and carried me to where I might sit at his table and be called his friend.